Hare Krishna, everyone. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, text number 16 and 17, entitled The Lord's Pastime Out of Vrindavan. The translation, Lord Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. Text 17. Translation, the embryo of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burned by the weapon of the son of Drona, but later he was again protected by the Lord. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The embryonic body of Parikshit, which was in formation after Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, the great hero, was burned by the Brahma Asra of Aswatthama. But a second body was given by the Lord within the womb, and thus the descendant of Puru was saved. This incident is the direct proof that the body and the living entity, the spiritual spark, are different. When the living entity takes shelter in the womb of a woman through the injection of the semen of a man, there is an emulsification of the man's and the woman's discharges, and thus a body is formed the size of a pea, gradually developing into a complete body. But if the developing embryo is destroyed in some way or the other, The living entity has to take shelter in another body or in the womb of another woman. The particular living entity who was selected to be the descendant of Maharaj Puru or the Pandavas was not an ordinary living entity, and by the superior will of the Lord, he was destined to be the successor of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Aswatthama destroyed the embryo of Maharaj Parikshit, the Lord, by his own internal potency, entered into the womb of Uttara by his plenary portion, just to give audience to the would-be Maharaj Parikshit, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in a new body by his omnipotency. By his power of omnipresence, he was present both inside and outside of Uttara and other members of the Pandava family. Homagyana timirandasya jnananjana salakaya chaksurun militanjena tasme shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale Svayam Rupa Karam Mayam Narati Svapirantikam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhur Gatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutub Devi Pranamami Aripriye Vanchakalpatarvascha Kripasanu Bevija Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavbhyo Namo Namo Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. So, very, very interesting topic this today. It's almost the follow-up from yesterday's class that Srila Prabhupada gave. Amazing class, and it was facilitated so well with, you know, so much interaction going on. Srila Prabhupada is like incredible. When you listen carefully to his classes, there's so much in it. I had some realization that when you're listening to Srila Prabhupada's classes, even though it's on one particular verse, you can like kind of use that for any verses in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. Incredible, because he's memory is so sharp. He was quoting about 4 or 5 verses yesterday while he was speaking, and he knows exactly where they are because he's written these books. He's translated them word for word, and he's like, you know, absorbed it in his whole mind, body, and soul. And sometimes he says these, one time, I can't remember exactly quotes because some people ask for reference, my mind is, but some things people say you can remember, but not in all the detail. But one time, one of his disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, how comes you enjoying your own books? You know, why are you relishing your books so much? And he said, my books are my ecstasy, because I didn't write them. So you can see these books have so much to give, and it's a shame that people can't read them and, you know, absorb what's being there, because it brings so much joy and happiness just to listen to the glories and the pastimes of, you know, Krishna. So Prabhupada yesterday was explaining like this, the title of this verse is chapter is the Lord's pastime out of Vrindavan. And yesterday was explaining, Srila Prabhupada, that whether Krishna is in Vrindavan or whether Krishna is on the battle of Kurukshetra, his activities are completely transcendental. So we can't, like, nitpick, you know, pick this section and that section. Sometimes, therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, you read the whole 9 cantos before you come to the 10th canto. Because the 10th canto is considered Krishna's face. And the 10th canto is to do with intimate relationships. So if we go to the top without understanding the philosophy and we go to the top trying to understand relationships, love, conjugal pastimes of the Lord, then what happens is we have a mundane mentality and we reflect it to the material world, the activities in the material world, the dull material sense gratification that goes on with lovers, husband, wife, you know, any interactions that humans have on a material platform, it will be compared. So Srila Prabhupada wants us to learn the philosophy first and then go from the feet, take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and gradually go to his face after we're reading all the cantos. So it was very interesting that Prabhupada yesterday was saying that you can be born in any family. You know, it's not some people say that they may be learned, they may say that you can only make improvement in your next life after you leave the body and the soul enters another body. But Srila Prabhupada says the body is changing all the time. All the time this body is changing from a baby. Then he quoted the verse 2:13 in Bhagavad Gita, Dehi Nosmanyata Dehi, says the body continues passing from boyhood to youth to old age. Similarly, the soul passes into another body. So he's explained, Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, how can we not see the changes of the body? You know, the body is changing all the time. So he was mentioning that. Also, he mentioned that you can be in any part of human society, whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, whether you're a Chandala, a Melacha, it doesn't matter. You can perfect your life. In one life, you can perfect it. It depends on your seriousness, your understanding of the philosophy, your hearing propensity. Shravanam, hearing propensity, is the most important when it comes to devotional service. If you love hearing and you relish hearing and you absorb what you, then you know, okay, I think I'm getting somewhere. Not big, but I think I'm getting somewhere. Because sometimes you find people, they come to the temple, they come for greeting of the deities, they see the deities, they relish the kirtans, they do all this, But when it comes to pravachan or class, you find, you know, half of the people walk out because the taste hasn't been developed. If your taste is developed to listen to Krishna's pastimes, to the philosophy about the, you know, Guru Parampara, the Acharyas, the Goswamis that left so much material, Srila Prabhupada, everything that we got ready to eat on a plate, if we don't relish that, then the love, bhakti hasn't entered the heart. So we have to have an inventory ourselves. We can check our own progress. No one else can check that. We internalize our activities and check on a daily basis how we're doing. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying that, don't worry about the past. Whatever happened in the past is finished. It's water under a bridge. Don't worry about the future. The future is our destiny. Whatever our karma is, we have to undergo that anyway. So worry about today. What am I doing now? Radhanath Maharaj also, when he gives class, he talks, worry about the now. What am I doing? How far am I getting in my life in Krishna consciousness? We have to keep asking questions all the time. You know, when we ask questions within ourselves, we can ask it to Krishna, we can ask it to the spiritual master, we can ask it to our peers, our seniors. Even our juniors can give us some understanding, you know. Some people go faster than us. Some people joined, like we joined 15 years, and now someone that joins like, you know, a day ago or 2 days, and they're running. They're learning everything. Like my godbrother, yeah, Smara Hari. I'm just bewildered the way how fast he's running. Sometimes when the baby is born, when they get to a year, they stand up, they fall, they get up. But this guy just woke up and he's running. He's keep running. So it's incredible how people, develop themselves. Swayam Bhagavan Maharaj, he's like, been like 15, 20 years in the movement. He's pretty young. And his dynamism is incredible. He's got this YouTube channel. He's reaching out to the people so much. It's incredible. So we have to take this life so seriously. And Krishna is giving all these examples in the book for us to, you know, deeply imbibe the philosophy and give it to others. We cannot be selfish and keep it to ourselves. Whatever we got, whoever we meet, it should always be in the back of my mind. In what ways can I use what I've learned, what I've got, to give this person? In a subtle way, you know, try not to blow the person out, but you find some ways and means to give the message. It's so very important. Sometimes I give something to the postman. I give something to the delivery man. I just say it's my birthday today, and it's in our custom to be giving. So I hope you don't mind. I got a little gift for you. And they say, what? This never happened to me before. We normally give gifts, you know, on birthday to the person, but I didn't hear of anyone giving gifts. So in this way, you make light the philosophy. You develop friendship and, you know, invite people. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that this Krishna consciousness is so beautiful. We cannot keep it to ourselves. And I was so excited about that class yesterday. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, how Krishna is so kind. He doesn't, like, differentiate between his devotees and the demons. He gives them equal privileges to go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes people question it. How is it possible? You know, someone is a demon and they enter into the body of Krishna, or they, you know, attain a Vaikuntha. It's good, but whatever Krishna does, it's inconceivable. Achinta. It's inconceivable. We just have to know that he's the best. Like here in this verse, It says, Lord Krishna, thus thinking to himself. Krishna doesn't have to think to himself. What does he have to think? But when he performs pastimes, he performs it so perfectly that sometimes if we don't catch the philosophy and we don't understand Krishna, then we think he's an ordinary person. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's thinking to himself. But he knew exactly that Yudhisthira had all the qualities of a king, of an emperor, to be sitting on the throne. So yeah, it's saying he's thinking to himself to establish Yudhisthira as the supreme controller of the world. But this is in order to show the ideal administration of the path of piety. So I was looking at Bhagavad Gita. It was 16:13, and it explains there how important it is for one to rule the world. Nowadays, you get like people that are throned or that are put on in position as king, as a president, prime minister, as councillors, whatever the case may be. It's always through votes. How many votes was collected, count the number of votes, and this person got the position or that person got the position, and also through elections. No one's concerned about whether this person is spiritually qualified, and I'll just mention a few qualities, whether they have certain qualities to rule, you know, the citizens. And the citizens, the people in the country as well, each one has their own motivation of who a ruler should be. They are thinking, how can this person cut the taxes down? How can he, build more hospitals or have more facilities so the funds go down for us? So all these things are playing in the mind, and in that way, they choose the candidate that suits themselves for their own convenience. And each one is doing that. And then they count the votes like that, or the election goes on like that. So in that way, they promise they will do certain things when they get the votes, like we had politicians coming here to the temple. They know that the temple has a big following. They know that during Janmashtami we have 40,000 people over a weekend. So they think, oh, if we can get all these votes, we might get elected. So this is the, you know, mentality. But no one is thinking how. And when they do get the position, all the promises made was, you know, to know. It's a normal thing. As long as I line my pockets and I get what I want, to hell with the rest of the world. This is how nature in the material world works. So Krishna is very interestingly saying in 16:13, and it says here that Yudhisthira was qualified and he had these. He had divine qualities. So he was, perfect to be put on the throne. So the first one, there's about 20 qualities that a Brahmin or someone that's meant to be put in position should have. So fearlessness is one. Purity, they have to have spiritual knowledge. We can imagine now, whoever is in positions, like in any country, or UK, or any other, we just take these qualities and we think, is this person got this? Is this, you know, different countries, a different president, different? Just imagine just whether these people have these qualities. Giving charity, self-control, performances of sacrifice, study of the Vedas. Anyone do study the Vedas? Austerity, simplicity, freedom from anger, forgiveness, cleanliness, and the list goes on. And the last one was freedom from envy. So this is the hardest bit. Freedom from envy is very difficult. So Srila Prabhupada, once he was giving a talk in Jagannath Puri in 1977, it was actually, and he said that it's very easy to charm a snake with herbs and mantra, but a man, you cannot do that with a man. So therefore, a man is considered more dangerous than a snake. At least a snake can be charmed, but a man can't. So, yeah, so this is the little bit I read. I wanted to actually, this story, the embryo of Puru's descendant begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Utra, his wife was burned by the weapon of son of Drona, but later he was again protected by the Lord. So, it's very interesting, in the creation, first canto, the creation, rather than me tell the story, I just wanted to read it because it's so beautiful. Srila Prabhupada, you know, translates so nicely, and it's good to give it from the book. So Krishna, Queen Kunti first, this is canto 1, chapter 8, text number 19. 18, Queen Kunti prays to Krishna. She says, "O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, without everything, yet you are invisible to all." So this is actually this. The last two lines is actually to today's verse, how Krishna entered the womb of Uttara and is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. You can't, as Queen Kunti saying that, you are existing within and without, and you are invisible to all. But the Pandavas, they knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes they themselves get covered by yogamana, maya, to experience and relish the mellows and the pastime. So now on the 19th verse. Oh, I missed this. Just bear with me. Did I lose that? Okay, so here, Krishna, the fight is over. He's just getting on his seat to go to Dwarka. And then he heard a voice. He heard this. See, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's within the heart of every living entity. He knows exactly what is happening with each individual. So Uttara was quite far away. She was running. This Brahmastra was coming towards her, and she was running towards Krishna, and she was imploring him for help. She was crying out, and he could hear. He got on his auto. He was just going to leave, and he could hear this voice imploring, "Please, I need your help. My baby, my embryo is going to be destroyed." And she was crying, "I don't mind being destroyed, but my child, you know, save my child." So 9 years says, "O Lord of Lords," this is Uttara praying, "O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality." So at that time, although Krishna was there, it was duality. There was suffering, there was pain, there was fighting. So in purport, this material world is the world of duality in contrast with oneness of the absolute realm. The world of duality is composed of matter and spirit, whereas this absolute world is complete spirit without any tinge of material qualities. In the dual world, everyone is falsely trying to become master of the world, whereas in the absolute world, the Lord is the absolute Lord and all others are his absolute servitors. So as long as we think we are something in this material world, we want position, we want to lord it over, and we think we're independent, then suffering takes place. So we see in duality, who's rich, who's poor, who's educated, who's not educated, who is king, who is a pauper. All these dualities we have in our mind, and that's going to bring us pain and suffering. So, the Lord is only shelter of fearlessness for the surrendered soul. One cannot save himself from the cruel hands of death in the material world without having surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. So now, Uttara is praying again. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Anuman, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. She's praying again, "Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord." So it's very difficult for you to understand this, for mothers who have experienced miscarriages, losing the babies within the womb. It's very, very difficult. Sometimes it's 5 months, sometimes it's 6 months. Sometimes people go to like 7 or 8 months, full pregnancy, and they lose the baby. And it's a traumatic experience, absolutely traumatic. You carried this baby, you nurtured it, you fed it from within your body, and then you lose it just like that. So if Krishna wants to take, no one can save. If Krishna wants to save, no one can kill, it's explained. So it's traumatic. So she is praying wholeheartedly. But meanwhile, Aswatthama, it's a very powerful, big, person, is already released the Brahmastra. And it's already got into the womb of Uttara. And Krishna knew this, so he wanted to act for his devotee. Sometimes we think, I'm praying and praying and Krishna is not helping me, why? But he knows exactly when to help and when not to help. But a devotee actually shouldn't be in pain and suffering. According to the philosophy, the suffering and pain we undergo is actually special mercy from the Lord. Because he wants us to get to him faster than we anticipate, he gives us this pain and suffering. Who knows our previous life, what we've been, what we've done. And today we're sitting here listening to Bhagavatam. It's incredible. I say to myself, every morning I wake up, I have to say thank you to the deities, to my spiritual master. First thing you say, thank you. You don't know what fortune you have that brought you to Krishna consciousness. And it's the highest truth, absolute truth you can get. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, to all those that are worshipping other faiths or in other way, they are my devotees, but indirectly, they don't know they're worshipping me indirectly. But it's the slower process by which they get to me. But we got the highest. We can go back to life, in this lifetime. depends on our seriousness in Krishna consciousness. So here, Krishna gets into the womb of Uttara, and he encourages he encourages the embryo within the womb, Parikshit Maharaj, by saying, "Don't worry, I will protect you." Sutta Goswami said, having patiently heard her words, Lord Krishna, who is always very affectionate to his devotees, could at once understand that Asvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, had thrown the astra to finish the last life of the Pandava family. So, text 12 is, O foremost among the great thinkers, Munis, seeing the glaring Brahma-astra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. So the Pandavas were also trying to help you with this. But Krishna protected them. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotee, who a fully surrendered soul, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. The Lord's supreme mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Guru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. So he came in front. So Parikshit Maharaj actually had a second birth. Krishna brought him alive. Brahmastra burnt him to ashes. Then when Krishna entered, he brought Parikshit Maharaj to life and he protected him from the front. And in this way, you know, he's got, because Krishna knew Parikshit Maharaj was going to take over from his grandfather Yudhisthira after he rules, then it was Parikshit Maharaj who was going to rule the world. It's explained in verse 15 that although the supreme Brahmastra weapon released by Asvatthama was irresistible, and without check or counteraction, it was neutralized and foiled when confronted by the strength of Vishnu, Lord Krishna. So, you know, he tried again, but it didn't work. In the verse it says, do not think that this is especially wonderful in the activities of the mysterious and infallible personality of Godhead. For Krishna, nothing is mysterious. There's so many pastimes, he did things, so many demons he killed, so many things. When Jarasandha was running after the two little boys, calling them back to fight, they were running away from the battle, there was reasons, but they went up this mountain and he was trying to run, and all the people thinking, how comes they so tired from running so long? And then they climb a mountain that is one akshohini. It said 90 miles high. How is it possible? And they went up there and Darasandha was lighting fire around the mountain so they get burned to death. And Krishna and Balaram, from a 90-mile mountain, they jumped down. So it's inconceivable. He maintains and annihilates all material things, although he himself is unborn. So text 17, thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi, addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. So it's such a beautiful, and Queen Kunti asked for more calamities as well. Please give me more calamities so I can remember you always. One devotee one time asked, someone was giving class, they said, how can we ask for suffering so we can always remember Krishna. And that sannyasi said, we don't even have to ask. It just comes automatically. And so when it comes, you remember Krishna. It comes so often that we think on how we can solve different issues and problem. But the safest way out is to remember Krishna always and never forget him. So we'll stop there for some interaction, which I loved the interaction yesterday, facilitating class. Prabhupada's class was so beautiful. And we can start with, if anyone has any. Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
I was amazed the other day when he said he'd be introduced to Krishna consciousness in the 1990s. And here I am. Also, I was introduced to Krishna consciousness in the 1990s. But you look at Kartik Chandra. He's memorized scriptures. He's read and reread them so many times. He's done all... Read the Acharya's books. He also knew all about the Jewish heritage. And I just find it inconceivable.
Yes.
And here I am struggling along to get through Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time.
Tell me about it.
But,
it's a never-ending story of love.
Yeah, but some people chose them. This wonderful.
It's all the pious credit, coming out, definitely. I was just talking, I don't know if you heard, I was talking about Smarahari, all these devotees that have just joined, and I've been around like part of the furniture, and I don't know. I can't remember. I know the first line of the verse. Ask me, and I'll tell you. I'll tell you all these verses, the first line. Ask me for the purport and this and that. It's very difficult. As you're getting older, the mind goes, the eyes goes, the ear, everything goes. So chant and be happy, is what I say. That's the ultimate. I just get happy just chanting. I just chant my way. Philosophy, books, all this read. I read. I join groups and all that, but its memory is really not my friend. Sorry. Anyone else want anything? Yes, Srinivas, you got something?
You mentioned in your class how we don't have to ask Krishna for suffering. Suffering comes. But is that the same suffering which we get? Isn't that just karma which suffering comes? Or why do devotees pray to Krishna for suffering?
Well, I'm not saying devotees pray. One devotee asked how we should pray for suffering. How? But Kunti asked for suffering. She said, please give me suffering. Because all along she was suffering. And she remembered Krishna, and she could overcome those suffering one by one because she had held on to Krishna's lotus feet. She remembered Krishna all the time. For us, unless we understand the philosophy, when we get pain and suffering, if we see Krishna's hand in it, we won't be suffering. We won't be in pain. Prabhupada, in a little book of... little quotes, he would say, I read the calendar every day, thought for the day. And he said there that if we actually see Krishna's hand in every little thing that happens in our life, we don't have any problem. Where's the problem? We make the problem. I was mentioning in Soul Street, We point a finger, this is the person that caused my suffering. And there's three pointing to us. One you're pointing, there three is pointing. So we have to ask ourselves, who's causing me pain? No, we ourselves cause ourselves pain. It's our karma, isn't it? We have to take the responsibility to act in such a way that we are appreciative of this body, of what we have, and in that way see it as Krishna's mercy. It's explained that one step we take to Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. So we have to always think, and when we get pain and suffering, ask ourselves, don't ask Krishna why, because he knows already why. We ask ourselves because we think, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm okay. It's not me, it's, you know, something else or somebody else. It's always something else that caused me pain, that caused me suffering. We don't see Krishna's hand in it. This is our problem. If we see Krishna's hand in whatever happens in our life, we'll think, oh my God, this was meant to be a big thing. This pain or the suffering I'm getting was meant to be a big thing. But I got it in little doses. Just so I can, you know, handle it. He only gives us what we can handle, really. He's so good to us. We have to give our heart to him. Surrender our whole life. The few years we have, surrender everything. And you'll see from the smallest thing you think of, sometimes you think of something, it hasn't even registered in your mind and it happens. You know, something that you think about, it's incredible, the things that happen. And if you think, this is Krishna, this is Krishna, this is Krishna, all the time, Krishna, 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 just absorb your mind with Krishna and everything will be okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gopremande, Vibho.